All right, I want to use two verses of Scripture this morning. I want to read the one of the ones that Adam read, a portion of it, where it says, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And then I want to use a verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Hebrews 12, 2, Philippians 2, 12, where the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Somebody might read those two verses and they say, I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. The Bible is full of contradictions. There's a verse that says Jesus is the author and finisher of our salvation. And there's another verse in the same Bible that says, no, 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 you got to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, those people that go to this book looking for contradictions will come away thinking they have found them. Those of us who go to this book knowing that there is no contradiction go to God and say, God, help me to understand how these two verses fit together. I know they do. I know that you put them in there for a purpose. And this morning, I want to look at those two verses. I want to talk about how Jesus is the author and finisher of our salvation. And then I want to talk about the work that we have to do in fear and trembling. And so I need some help this morning. So Dennis, I'm going to ask you and Tim, if you would, to come and help me this morning. Okay? Tim, would you come too? And then I need three people. So Terry, would you come as well? And Dennis, I want you to stand over there. Tim, you sort of stand right here beside me. And then Terry, if you would, stand over there. All right? Now, when the Bible says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our salvation, he is the one that starts it, and he is the one that ends it. And we're going to let Dennis represent the start of our salvation. Okay? And Jesus is the author of this. And we're going to let Terry this morning represent the finish of our salvation. And I'll tell you what the start and the finish is in just a moment. And then we're going to let Tim represent all of us. He's going to be on this journey from the start of his salvation till the end of his salvation. Okay? And this will come together in just a little bit as I get into it. Now, salvation is talked about in the Bible as a three-part process. All right? And some people have said, we're saved, first of all, from the penalty of sin. We're saved, second of all, from the power of sin. And we're saved, third of all, from the presence of sin. Over here, when we get saved, we are saved immediately from the penalty of sin. When I asked Jesus to be my Savior, I got out of hell. When I asked Jesus to be my Savior, my eternal destination became heaven. The wages of sin is death. And when I got saved, I cheated that penalty because Jesus paid it for me. And it's not a process. It doesn't take a long time. In fact, it's an instantaneous transaction. When we get saved, we are saved from the penalty of sin. Now, over here at the finish of our salvation, we are going to be saved from the presence of sin. Boy, what a day that will be. No more sin. No more having to put up with all the hogwash that goes on in this world. No more sin. So I'm going to be saved over here from the presence of sin. Now, in the middle, and Tim's going to represent us in the middle. Come over here just for a second. A little bit. Yep, turn around this way. I'm going to just let me be your master this morning, okay? All right. Now, as Tim makes this journey from first getting saved toward the end of his salvation, he is being every day, and it's a process, it's a journey, being saved from the power of sin. Because the more that he gives his life over to Christ, the more that he listens to the Holy Spirit, the more he becomes obedient to what the Holy Spirit says, that grip that sin had on him back here gets looser and looser and looser and looser. Now, we'll never, while we're on this journey, there'll always be sin. Satan will always tempt us. We'll always have that opportunity to sin. But we don't sin. See, before when we over here, before we even got saved, we were a slave to sin. We couldn't help ourselves. We sinned. But once you got saved and you got the Holy Spirit, you get to make a choice. Do I live for God or do I live for the devil? Do I obey the Bible or do I ignore the Bible? Do I do right or do wrong? Satan can't make the Christian do anything. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And these Christians that say, oh, the devil made me do it. No, 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 no. Devil can't make you do anything, child of God. Devil can't force you to do anything, Christian. If you sin, it's because you choose to. And as we make this journey from first getting saved until the finish of our salvation, and we get closer and closer to the finish, sin has less and less a grip on our life. Now, we need to stay in this middle ground. The moment that I get over here and start messing with how somebody gets saved, or the moment I get over here and start messing with how a person is made in the likeness of Jesus Christ, I am in God's business. I am in God's realm of operation. And he says, look, you got enough to do in the middle. Stay out of the beginning and stay out of the end. I will take care of that. Now, again, the Bible uses different words to describe these three processes. This is justification. I made just as if I've never sinned. That's why I am free from the penalty. This is called sanctification, where I am sanctified, being set more and more apart every day as I head toward Christ. And this over here is called glorification, when I am made in the likeness of Jesus. So I'm going to start over here. I'm going to work my way back to the beginning, and I'm going to talk to you about these three phases of salvation. We will be finished with our salvation when we are exactly like Jesus. The psalmist said in Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In Romans 8:29, the Bible says that we are conformed to the image of his Son. And so when my salvation is complete, when I reach this point over here, when Jesus appears and he makes me exactly like him, I'm done in my journey. I am no longer fighting sin. I come to that point when Jesus appears, I see him as he is, and he makes me in his likeness. Now, I want to tell you something. I cannot do that myself. And you cannot do that yourself. This is God's business, and only God can do it. You see, I'm like Paul. I'm on this journey. Even when I get over here, the things I know to do, I don't do. And the things I know not to do, I do. I was talking to somebody this week, and he was talking about a sin in his life. And I said, we all have sin. He said, oh, no, no, no. You don't have any sin in your life. I said, yes, I do. Now I wasn't going to confess to him some of my sins. I say, I got a big problem with Butterfinger candy bars. That's my sin. Somebody gave me a pack of 10 little ones last week or the week before, and they were gone before Sunday night. And I didn't give any of them away. I ate every single one of those. I got a problem. I can't stop myself. I don't, you know, you've heard me say, if you're going to sin, make sure you have to work. I don't keep Butterfinger candy bars in the house. I won't let Debbie bring them into the house, because I know if they're in the house, I'll eat them. I mean, if I get a craving, I want to have to get in the car and drive 10 miles to the store, and maybe by then the craving will pass. But look, the things I know to do, I don't do, and the things I know not to do, I do. I cannot make myself like Jesus. I can't do that. That is God's business. And when we get to the end of our journey and Jesus comes and we see him as he is, Paul says, now we look through a glass dimly. But then we are going to come face to face with him. And when we see him, the Bible says that he will make us like he is. We will be glorified. We will be delivered from the presence of sin. We will come into the presence of God without sin in our life. Look, there's no sin in heaven. God has to make us like Jesus for us to get into heaven. Yeah, it's been paid for, and the grip is being looser and looser as we make this journey. But in order to come into the presence of God, sin has to be removed from our life, and only God can do that. And he does that when he glorifies us. And so our salvation is finished by Jesus himself. He is the finisher of our faith. We can't do that. He has to do that for us. Now, in between the finish and the start is where that verse in Philippians 2:12 comes into play. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You mean, Brother Daryl, that I have to work my way to heaven? No, 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 no. But you have to work while you're going to heaven. You don't have to work your way into heaven. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But God expects us to work while we're on our way to heaven. So Tim represents all of us. We get saved. We get justified. Although I'm made just as if I'd never sinned. I'm free from the penalty of sin. I start this journey. Now, this journey is going to take me to the finish of my salvation. Don't go so fast. I got to make all my points. If you go too fast, I won't have time. This journey is going to take me to the finish of my salvation. It's going to take me to that point where Jesus is going to appear and he's going to make me just like him. He's going to take away all of the... I'm going to be removed from the presence of sin. I'm going to go into the presence of God just like him. But between this point where I get justified, where I get saved from hell, to this point where I get fit for heaven, God says, you got some work to do. Not work to pay for your salvation, because that was already paid for, but work to point yourself in that direction and to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Okay, stay right there just for a second. Now, I want to make a couple quick points. This is a gradual thing. It doesn't, you just don't get saved and then the next moment you're over here. It doesn't work like that. No more than you expect a little, you don't have to do that. I'll do that. Okay, good. No more than you expect a little baby to be born one day and to be a mature adult the next day. It's a gradual thing. It's a thing of growth. It's a thing of yielding to the Holy Spirit. It's a thing that happens a little bit every day. And so I would just encourage you, I would remind you this morning, every single person in this room that's a Christian is somewhere between here and here. Some of you may be over here. Some of you may be right where Tim is. Some of you may be right here. Don't be the kind of Christian that does this. What's the matter with you guys? How come you're not up here? You've been saved long enough. You ought to be closer to this end than you are to that end. Look, it's not our business how quick other people grow in Christ. We need to concentrate on ourselves. We need to look at how fast we're growing. Now, we ought to help. I mean, if we see something that we can help another person take that next step, Sunday school teachers, mature Christians, yeah, you ought to help. But never look back and expect people to all be at the same point that you are. Because I'll tell you what, there's always probably two or three people ahead of you that could turn back if they wanted to and say, how come you're not up here? Don't criticize different people for where they are in their Christian growth. It's a gradual thing. Satan will try to get you off course. Now look, Tim's making this journey. Okay? He's making this journey. Okay? He's making this journey. Here's what Satan will try. Oh, no, no, no. You don't want to go that way. We want to turn around and go back this way. We had more fun over here. Don't you remember all the fun we had over there? Come on, let's go this way. Now, remember, he has more power within him than Satan has. If he goes back this way, it's his decision to go back that way. And there are many Christians this morning that are giving Satan credit for things that Satan deserves no credit for. Satan cannot make us turn around. He cannot make us backslide. He cannot make us get off of this path and take a little detour another way. He cannot make us do that. If we do that, we decide to do it ourselves. The Bible talks about this way being a straight and narrow way. And Satan will try to get us off that straight and narrow way and mess us up. Satan's he didn't want us to get saved in the first place, and if he had his desire, we would stay here all of our Christian life. We would stay right here. We wouldn't take a step forward toward Christ. We'd stay right here when we got saved. That's what Satan desires. He'll try to mess you up. The Holy Spirit will help. We don't have to make this journey by ourselves, praise God. Because as we make this journey, we have somebody that's with us said, let's go. We don't want to go this way. Don't listen to Satan. This is the way we want to go. And the Holy Spirit doesn't grab us like this and say, come on. No, he says, let's go. And every day he'll teach us. Every day he'll encourage us. Every day he'll just say, let's just keep making progress. We can't make the whole journey in one day. We can't make the whole journey in one week. It's going to be a lifetime of taking steps toward Jesus. But we can do it, and we'll do it together. I'll help you. I'll teach you. When you fall, I'll pick you up. When you get discouraged, I'll encourage you. When Satan tries to get off track, I'll remind you that you have more power in you with me than he has in him. So just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. So, when it says that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, it's talking about what happens between the moment we get saved, the moment we get justified, and the moment we get glorified in Jesus Christ. This is our work. We do with fear and trembling. Because, and I'll tell you why. The closer I get to Christ, the more I see him as he is. We were talking a little bit about in Sunday school this morning. I realize, the closer I get, the more I realize what a sinner I am. You see, when I'm way over here and Jesus is over there, Don't look bad. Stay out of my preaching. It don't look bad. I'm not so bad. I mean, I'm not like those heathen over there. They're not even saved. I'm not so bad. But I tell you what, the closer we get to this end, and the more that glass starts to clear up, and the more I see Jesus for who he is, I fear and tremble in the reverence of God because I see the price that he paid for a wicked sinner that I am. I am unworthy. The closer I get, the more unworthy I see myself. The closer I get to his holiness, the closer I get to his love, I realize that there is nothing about me that deserves that. It was all an act of grace. And in reverential fear, I want to bow before my Savior and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. He's the finisher of our faith. Between there and there, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Point number three, he's the author of our faith. The author of our faith. Salvation is God's plan. What's the plan? You find it described in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Wait, preacher. If God so loved the world, why doesn't he just overlook sin? If God so loved the world, why wouldn't he just let everybody go to heaven whether they get saved or not? If God so loved the world, why would anybody be condemned to hell? If God so loved the world, why don't he just love us all right into heaven? And I say to those people that ask that question, you're asking the wrong question. God does not send one person to hell. Listen to me. God does not send one person to hell. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire is for every single person to get saved. People that go to hell because they choose to. You say, what do you mean, preacher? They choose to go to hell? Yes, they choose to reject Christ. They choose to reject the gospel. They choose to reject the love of God that God had for them when he sent Jesus to die for them. And when people go to hell, it's not because God sends them to hell. It's because they choose to go to hell. God has three great loves. Three great loves. He loves holiness. He's a holy God. Isaiah 6:3. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy is the Father. Holy is the Son. Holy is the Spirit. 41 times in the Bible it talks about God being the most holy. 23 times in the Bible it says he is the Holy One. 31 times in the Bible he's called the Holy One of Israel. 24 times in the Bible it says holy is his name. 721 times in the Bible God is called the Holy God. He loves holiness. He loves justice. God is a just God. He wouldn't be holy if he wasn't just. In Acts 3:14, he's called the just one. In Acts 7:52, he's called the just Savior. In Acts 22:14, he's called the just Son of God. Justice is doing what's right. Justice is obeying the law. Justice is keeping the rules. In Isaiah 50, verse 7, the Bible says, the Lord is the habitation of justice. He must be just, because if he was not just, he would not be holy. So he loves holiness. He loves justice. Number three, he loves you and I. He loves man. In the Garden of Eden, it all came together. Because in the Garden of Eden, a holy, just God told Adam, everything here is for you, except one tree. The fruit of that tree is mine. Don't eat it. In the day that you eat it, you will die. Adam took the fruit. He ate it. He became a sinner. Somebody that broke the law of God. God's holiness said, I've got to kick Adam out of the Garden of Eden. Holiness cannot dwell with sin. That's why sinners can't go into heaven. That's why I got to be glorified before I go into the presence of God. That's why God's got to take away all of my sin, every bit of it, before I can come into his presence. That's why God, when Jesus hung on the cross and he bore the sin of every single one of us, the holy God had to turn his back on his only begotten Son because of the sin. Holiness can't dwell with sin. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there was no answer that came back from heaven. Jesus knew the answer. A holy God cannot face sin. They don't go together. And in the Garden of Eden, the holy God said, I've got to kick Adam out of the garden. A just God said, that was the rule. The rule was that they ate the fruit, they would die. They would be removed from my presence. I've got to be a just God. But the love that God had for man said, I got a plan. I got a plan. And just like we talked about in Sunday school, God did not wait for man to sin for him to put together that plan. He was a lamb crucified before the foundation of the world. And when we cry out to God in our sinful state and we say, "Oh, Father, save me, a sinner," God doesn't have to put together a plan. He's got the plan already worked out. Jesus, before the foundation of the world, God knew what he was going to do to pay for sin. And in the Garden of Eden, God says to his holiness, and God says to his justice, "I have a plan. I'm going to send my only begotten Son, and he's going to go and he's going to live among men, and he's going to live a sinless life. And he's going to go to the cross and he'll pay for all of man's sins. Every single one of them." Holiness, are you satisfied? And holiness says, "Yes, sir." Justice, are you satisfied? And justice says, "Yes, sir." This is God's plan. You see, no more than I can take away all my sin and glorify myself, I cannot justify myself. People say, "I'll just live a good life. I'll just live a moral life." Sorry, a good moral life is not the author of our salvation. "I'll join a church. I'll get my name on a church roll. I'll go every Sunday." Sorry, the church is not the author of our salvation. "I'll get baptized. I'll take communion." Sorry. Communion and baptism is not the author of our salvation. When we get over to this area, if we start messing around, we are messing around in God's business. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me."
Amen.
He's the author and he's the finisher of our salvation. And in between the beginning and the end, we work with fear and trembling. Thank you, guys. I want to do something this morning as I close my message. I have a $5 bill. I want to give it to somebody. Somebody come and get it. Come and get it. Stay right there for a second. Just stay right there for a second. No, keep the five. Just stay right there for a second. Now, why did she come? I had a gift for her. I said, "Here's a gift. I want to give it to you. Come get it." Bev believed that if she came, I would give it to her. And I did. And it's yours. Thank you. Now here's my point. I represent a God this morning that has a gift for every single person here. It's the gift of salvation. He says, "Come and get it. Come and get it." And those that are here this morning and have never been saved, if you will do exactly what she did a moment ago, if you will just come and get it, he will save you. That's what this book says. He will save you. The Bible says he will in no wise cast anybody out. Do you believe him this morning? He says all you got to do is come. Just come and get it. I'll give it to you. And if you walk out these doors this morning without Jesus Christ, it is because you simply did not come and get it. It is there for the taking. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you that it